for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is Friday, which means you've reached the end of your work week. General D barely didn't get enough of us yesterday. Wants to hang out again today as we are live at No Wake Outfitters over in Metairie. We'll tell you exactly what that's at here shortly as we are pumped because the Pels got a win. We got a lot to get into today, including... Oh, my goodness. I had no idea you had this many different kayaks here at No Wake Outfitters. Did you know that?
No, this is a very impressive setup over here.
It's really, really nice. Yeah. Really nice. We'll be talking with Justin here shortly. We want you to come on out and take a visit. But first... Indeed, we are looking forward to the weekend as it is here, April 12th, hard to believe, 2 weeks from today. We'll be talking about who the Saints took.
Absolutely.
In round number one.
Absolutely gorgeous outside.
Oh, it's beautiful.
French Quarter Fest going on this weekend.
Yes, beautiful weather.
Tomorrow.
The weather's nice, especially when you consider all of the rain that we had on Wednesday. Justin, you probably could have used a couple of these canoes back in the day, back on Wednesday here as well.
You could have had some fun with all that.
Oh, for sure. Hey, thanks for having us here, man. You guys are sponsors of our number one. Been telling folks to go to NoWakeOutfitters.com. 1926 Airline Drive. Where are we? Causeway to the Parish Line. Across the street, basically, from Premier Fitness, Caddy Corner, from Herwin's Mints, the... You know, furniture store, the toy store that's been here as long as I can remember. You said you know how to say it?
Lazy Way.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Is that how you would say it? I have no idea
how I would say it.
There it is. I just call it the toy store. It goes like that.
Used to be a frequent fire.
But we were right next to it. You can't miss it. It literally says No Wake Outfitters out in front. And it says paddle sports, outdoor gear, fishing and fly tackle, apparel and sundries, all of that stuff and more. Justin is with us to
tell
us
a little bit. They also have the pool outside.
Yes, the demo pool.
The demo pool.
Which is why John Forkett is not allowed in here.
He is not allowed, exactly.
That is not the kind of pool that we would like him to come hang out with. Justin, thank you for having us, man. Good afternoon.
I appreciate y'all being out here.
Look, obviously when you walk in, the first thing that greets you when you open the doors, kayaks. And these are not the kayaks that I am familiar with because I am a horrible fisherman. And maybe I do need to come here and see that because I checked you guys out on a website. And one of the things we talk about too is you guys actually do that. Y'all are professionals. Y'all fly fish. Y'all fish. Y'all know where to go do these things, how to go do these things, what to use, all of that. So maybe I should come see you a little bit when it comes to that. But is that kind of what you guys wanted to do when y'all started No Wake Outfitters?
Absolutely. We were trying to expand further into both the fly fishing community and the kayak community. It's really grown in the last couple of years. We're actually home to some of the biggest kayak fishing clubs in the entire nation. We have a lot of tournaments here. I know you got Ride the Bull down in Grand Isle. That's always super popular. Attracts hundreds of kayak anglers. And honestly, the sport has expanded so far that now you kind of get lost in it. There's so many different brands. There's so many different configurations in kayaks, different applications for different kayaks. So it helps for you to be able to talk to a professional that can actually kind of guide you through. Maybe you're looking for a certain something. Maybe I can help you save on different boats that have a little bit better modularity, better function. It's something that's going to be of better use to you than just going and buying something out of a big box store, off of a website. At least here we can get hands-on, we can show you in person, and then like you just mentioned, we have a kayak demo pool. So any kind of boat you're interested in, we can always pick it up, throw it in the pool.
I can literally go
you
in
can
the
literally
water there and
ride in it
sort
right
of
there.
Light, which is incredible to think of. And look, it's been somewhat education already in just the 15, 20 minutes that we've had a chance to talk after the setup, because I have a recreational kayak that, you know, what. Bring out to the beach or whatever, and these little bayous. But it's crazy. I don't think about it. I love the notion of having a boat and all those different aspects because we have water all around us, and fishing and sportsman paradise is on our, you know, license plates. A reason for that. I never really thought about kayak and angling, like you just said, from that perspective. But you brought up two things that make a lot of sense. affordability, and more importantly, maintenance. Because that's the one thing that when I do talk to people that have boats, the first thing they tell me, you'll love it when you buy it, you'll love it when you sell it, right?
Exactly.
The thing in between. In kayaking, you just said, man, I can just grab it, throw it in a truck, and we're on the water.
It's perfect, especially if you're a person that works a lot like me. You only got like a couple hours of daylight. It's easy just to throw the kayak in the back of your pickup truck. And I mean, like you just said, Louisiana is a sportsman's paradise. There's so many different bodies of water, and all of these boats that I have in here have multiple different applications. You can literally go fish a bayou. You can go fish a creek. You can go take it, so any sort of inshore applications, even offshore, like I just mentioned. A lot of these boats, I've taken them offshore in Navarre and things like that. So you can take them anywhere.
But then I don't know that much. But I walked in, I'm like, there's motors on these things. Now, I do know some friends that have boats, and you have those little motors. Once you start the fish, it just kind of does little circles, and you can set it where. Well, they have them right there. I'm looking at one right now. Probably mispronounced it. Mincota? Is that
The Mincota.
Yep, there it
is. That one's on the autopilot. It's got a full function of iPilot, you know, with GPS. You can chart it. It's got spot lock and everything on it. Obviously, that's something like that.
I'm used to seeing that on boats, is what I'm saying. You know? I didn't think of that on a kayak. And then over here to my left, we got something really cool.
That is the Old Town EPDL Plus. That's actually the biggest and most innovative kayak on the market currently. That's from Old Town. They're manufactured out of Maine. This is an actual e-assisted pedal drive. So you can actually set it to automatic cruise control, and it'll just run just like any other trolling motor. But with the biggest innovation of it is that it's also e-assisted, just like on your e-bike. So you can pedal very, very faintly, and that prop's just going to spin like at full speed. I think you can get up to like 6 miles an hour.
Love that. So basically, cool. Generally, I can go fishing, use minimal amount of work and effort to get in there. No, I can't. But I
and get a workout in.
I didn't know you had so many different aspects. And then we got one in front of us where you were having you were talking about the motor. I mean, the seat's incredible. You got spots for this gigantic net. We got the flags. People can see you here as well. The bright orange and green contrast. But that thing can really look like it can go through some water. And you showed me a photo of it. Again, maybe I'm just not aware of it, but there's two grown adults standing here while we're fishing. You know, I'm kind of thinking, do I need to sit while I fish? You can stand in these things.
A lot of these things are stable enough. You can stand, you can switch spots and stuff like that. The picture I showed you wasn't unlimited, and they have a 360 swivel seat. So my favorite thing is I like to turn the seat all the way to the side and just dip my little piggies in the water and do some fishing and really relax.
I love that. Again, it's incredible because we always talk about, hey, come see all the different kayaks, and I didn't know you had this many variations. And then, hanging from the ceiling, you do have the recreational ones.
Yes, sir. I have plenty of recreational and touring kayaks, obviously. A lot that we are a sportsman's paradise, but a lot of that marsh and that swamp and the bayous also offer a lot of great just ecotourism opportunities for photography, or if you just want to get out and get away from the busyness of the city and get some more quiet peacefulness of nature. We have kayaks that can also accommodate for that.
And then on the other side of this little threshold here where all the kayaks are, you got the stuff that you would actually use.
Absolutely.
To go fishing.
We're also a full-service fly shop. We're one of the only ones in the state. We offer all the brands you can think of. All the reels. We have a huge selection of flies, and our biggest claim to fame is that all of our flies are locally tied. So all your guys that live and fish here, all of these patterns are going to be applicable because this is what they're using to fish. This is what they're tying. Most of them here in store, actually. We have plenty of flies. We have all the fly tying material you could ever need. We offer a range of different fly rods. From anything from like a starter combo set, because I know a lot of guys, right, they get worried to like, man, that's an expensive hobby. And I'm like, man, it's not as expensive as you think. You can take it to extremes and spend thousands of dollars. But I also have very affordable kits and stuff that I like to get people just entering the sport started in.
When you look at the difference between rod and reel and then fly fishing, why do some people really enjoy that fly fishing style?
So for me, it's always that it's a lot more involved, and I always called it like a natural progression from conventional spin fishing, things like that. I always compare it to like when you grew up hunting, which a lot of us have here.
Sure.
You grew up hunting with a rifle, right? You sit in a stand, and you wait for Bambi to come and enter the soybean field, you know, and you crack them at 300 meters, right? A lot of guys, they'll move on to archery. Because it's a little bit more nuanced. It's a lot more involved. It's something that you can really get lost in. And for me, that's what fly fishing is. It's something that I can always be improving my skill sets with. I can always be upgrading my gear, learning better applications and things like that. So really, that's the big draw.
One of the things I saw, too, when I was walking around, you have the map of the area and the state and stuff. And obviously, those are fly fishing areas and waterways and different things. Or can you really kind of do both? Or would you say there's some specific areas that you would probably say more for fly fishing.
Absolutely not. Anywhere where there's water and there's fish, you can fish.
Okay.
A lot of people have this misconception, right? I always like to bring up a river runs through it. Everybody's seen a river runs through it, and they're thinking of shadow casting on the Blackfoot. And I always tell them, I'm like, that is trout fishing, cold water fishing you can do out west and further up north. But anywhere that there is fish, you can throw a fly at them. And fish around here will readily take a fly because nothing moves in the water with better action than natural fibers.
One of the other things, too, that you always love, if you're somebody who wants to get into this, is deals and specials and things of that nature. And I know I've been saying that as well. Some camo, some winter gear, some time to maybe come in here. I see a couple of stickers with a couple of things percent off. Anytime I see a cooler and stuff like that is a percent off, I'm in.
Yeah, right. Our specials that we're actually running today is 30% off all of our winter coats and jackets, trying to move a lot of the winter apparel we have here out. But also a lot of really good duck camp camo that has really applicable camo patterns for the marsh and even some of our hardwood and stuff like that. Great quality. Those are also marked down 30%, just so the guys want to get on top of getting themselves equipped and outfitted for next year. Now's the time.
Nice quality hats. I was actually looking at some on the corner over there.
Duck Camp's definitely one of my best sellers. I love their hats. That blue crab hat I wear. Duck Camp.
And a lot of that is because it's kind of with the sun, the heat, and ventilated and all that?
I mean, yes, sir. A lot of the camo that I do sell here are actually, they're like a polyester poly blend. So they're really breathable material. They wick moisture. So down here, you know, we're huffing it to the stand and
right.
Stuff. Like it works really well for just not getting too overheated. You're not wearing like something that's too heavy and it's not going to breathe really well. The duck camp really excels in our marsh and our humidity for sure.
I love that. NoWakeOutfitters.com, as I mentioned, each and every day. That is the place to go check it out. Look, when you do that, you can see different events. You can look at the different services. What are some of the services you guys offer here?
So on top of being a full-service fly shop, you know, I can spool up your reels and stuff like that. We can go over some of your casting and things. We also host classes here. We do a fly tying class here hosted by New Orleans Fly Fishers. We do that once a month. We also have a fly fishing 101 class. We'll actually be having our first on the 27th, I believe. That's the last Saturday of the month.
Right.
That is a $250 class, and that comes with 4 hours, 2 hours of instruction in a classroom, 2 hours of casting on the water, and it actually comes with a fly fishing combo.
So you'll take us out on the water to actually try.
We'll take you out, and you'll get hooked up on a fish, I guarantee it.
He says that.
That's pretty cool. He doesn't know who he's dealing with,
well,
right?
I still tell the story all day. I don't know if you know who Don Dubuque is. He's kind of one of those outdoorsy people.
He's kind of
there.
A big guy.
Yeah, we did one of those things where I went with him to film his little television segment, and we were out there behind Michu catching reds. Well, at least they were.
Yeah. You were watching.
Let's just put it to you this way. They literally did everything, as in catch the fish. They got to the point where Andrew, the photographer, we just want you grabbing the rod, fish on the line, going, yeah, you know, just the old edit sort of thing.
Yeah.
Couldn't bring him in. Now, that said, Jordan, the intern who formerly worked with us here, his dad said, we're going to get you to catch a fish. So I want to say 2 or 3 Father's Days ago, his dad and my dad went, and we went, and we actually caught our first redfish and all that, which was really cool because we hadn't ever done that ever together. And to be able to do that, I get what you're saying. It was just something unique. I'll never forget it, you know, being able to clean them up and do that and cook them on the grill the day afterwards.
Well, that's why
it was really cool.
That's why it's very important for us that part of that block of instruction includes actually fishing on the water with fish there. Because I really think that once a person hooks a fish on a fly, that's the deal is set.
Yeah.
They're hooked for life.
I like the whole thing that you kind of walk yourself into it, that you're not just stuck with some of the high-end stuff, that it's actually going to help you eventually get to the next stage. Like, you have a lot of intro stuff, a lot of things that you can do to get those beginners, but you also got stuff here for the high-end.
And that's why I don't like to call them, like, cheap. I don't like to say, oh, yeah, I got cheap stuff here. You know, they're not cheap. They're really good investments. Mm-hmm. A lot of the combos I sell here are something that you'll keep in your quiver and continue to use. I still have my first fly rod combo. I bought a real quality product, and that's my truck rod. It stays in my truck, and anytime I pass a body of water, I'm like, that looks kind of fishy. I can just pull over and hit it.
I think that's one of the things that I want to really kind of present today here as well, is when I kind of did some research on you guys too, as well, this is what you do. This isn't kind of one of those things, hey, it wouldn't be a bad thing to kind of open up a shop and do that. You literally love fishing. You like this.
That's what you do.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at. For somebody like me, or even people that do that a lot, who better to go to than someone that actually, this is literally what you do. If you got some time this weekend, you're going to go do that.
Exactly.
So it's a great way to kind of even talk about it. Is that something else that I can do when I walk in here too? Hey, this week, next week, what are some people seeing that can go? What's a good hot spot or something?
Yes, sir. I always invite people out, and we have a lounge here in the store. We've got tables and chairs. I usually have a pot of coffee on. We get a pretty big crowd here.
Come on.
Because I always tell them, I was like, you don't have to come in and buy anything. It's nice if you can help and support the store. But, I mean, if you just want to come in, ask me some questions. Hey, you know, where have you been catching them at? With the weather conditions coming up this week, where would you go? What would you do? What would you throw? I don't mind answering those questions. And that's what you saw, all the charts I have here.
Yeah.
Those charts are literally just here. Customers come in, I just walk up. I'm like, you know, you're familiar with this area? He's like, I would hit up this area. I would go run out here. This is pretty good. So, I mean, even if you don't necessarily need anything, come and take advantage of the knowledge. Come and take advantage of the experience. And I'm not saying that just from me. I have a coworker here who he's far more knowledgeable and experienced than I am. And we're blessed to have a large community that still comes in. And like I said, they'll be over here drinking a pot of coffee or something. And like, you wouldn't know it, but you're standing next to a guide with, you know, 40 plus years of experience.
Wow.
They're always hanging out here.
That's
so there's a lot of knowledge that you can take advantage of just from coming in and stopping by and seeing.
It's one of the reasons we're excited about coming here. Look, it's one thing to say, hey, we appreciate you being a sponsor. It's one thing to mention your names to come out and do it. But we purposely like to come out and visit you guys so we can talk about it, so we can put, you know, not only a face to a name and everything, but to see what it is that you guys do. So
absolutely. It's also another sport. Awesome. This is a sport.
No.
I mean, this isn't, you know, there's a lot involved in this.
I mean, these kayaks are incredible.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
Cool.
You
can work up a pretty good sweat in some of these pedal kayaks.
But it is, and quite honestly, there's some things. When I've gone, I kind of just like it's quiet. I mean, when I say it's quiet, but like you hear, you know, whether it's the birds chirping, the water, you know, just there's something to that. It really honestly is. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind a boat every now and then or a sea-doo, but then the back starts to hurt.
I call them my hard resets. When I start getting all stressed out and everything's becoming a little bit too much, man, even if I don't hook up into a fish, like I just need to get out there and get my hard reset.
I love that. Good stuff, man. Well, we're going to be here for the next couple of hours here. We're going to speak more with Justin and have a little bit of fun. Maybe ask about some of the other accessories that are on these kayaks here as well. We'll touch on a lot more coming up next. So thank you, Justin. Appreciate it.
Thank
you. Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, will join us. The Pels get a huge win, and all that means is they got to win tonight.
They got to keep on keeping on.
It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Soundbite to the end. I got it. Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, joining us there. Look, you could hear the end of that, obviously, the people leaving. Zion Williamson, 23 of his 31 in the second half. CJ, another big night. Trey, another big night. What a performance by this team, picking up its 27th road win of the season, man. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on to talk some hoops. It's going to be a fun end of the season for the Pels here.
All right, here's the thing. Where we were a week ago, Jake, and especially leaving that game after the Spurs, so a week ago and a couple of hours, they lose to the Spurs. I saw you walk past the radio studio there as well. We both gave each other the look of like, oh boy. And now you're going out on the road, the most important road trip at that time, and the prospect of facing the Suns. How did you legit feel how this team was going to end the final week of the season?
You know, I think it was up in the air, especially after that loss to the San Antonio Spurs, where we weren't quite sure who this team was, I think, in that sort of moment. Now, they didn't play with Brandon Ingram. They had no Zion Williamson in that game either. But that's still a team that you should have beaten. And for a team that was kind of not fighting for their postseason lives because they're in the postseason. They were guaranteed at that point pretty much a spot in the play-in tournament. But you want to avoid that type of situation. And for them to not really rise to the occasion to have a pretty disastrous road trip where we were hoping for something like 3-3, even 2-4 would have been better. You know, it looked like their route to go get into the playoffs was going to be through the play-in tournament. So for them to kind of rebound from that, go on the road a couple nights later, and get that massive win over the Phoenix Suns, the team that you're fighting for that sixth seed, you know, kind of showed you where they're at mentally, I think. But they're not kind of shying away from the occasion here, and they're ready to rise to the challenge. And I think that's important because at times we've seen this team play down to their level of competition, that Spurs game being an example. But to go on the road against the Portland Trailblazers then and kind of really take control of that game in the second half, but then to go on the road against the Sacramento Kings and get up by 20 in the first quarter, this team was ready to play. Now, they ended up kind of giving up some of that lead, but they did lead and win that game wire to wire. And it just shows you their head's kind of in the right space. And I don't think anyone was really expecting that after the loss of the San Antonio Spurs. So credit to this team, credit to Willie Green for everyone kind of sticking together and getting through that adversity.
Hey, Jake, this is General D. One of the things that I noticed with this team is their defense obviously is getting out a lot better and getting in transition. And Zion, when he's playing downhill, I mean, he's just a wrecking crew. But it seems like down the stretch, I said this yesterday on the radio, like I feel like it's almost like by default that they're having to look towards Zion to step up to be that guy to close out ball games. I mean, he has the passion in him to do it. But it seems like he's the guy that everybody's going to in crunch time. Or is this something that we're just seeing because it's kind of fallen that way? Or is Zion actually taking the next step in his progression?
I mean, I think it's both, right? I think he's the best player on the court, so you better be getting him the ball. And we've seen them really struggle to execute in clutch late-game situations throughout the season here where there'd be multiple possessions where they weren't getting him the ball. And I think that's something that the coaching staff has worked on to make sure that they are getting him the ball. He's even spoken in after games, you know, when he wasn't touching the ball in the fourth quarter, that he says, I got to demand it, right? There's kind of accountability there with everything, and you're seeing that accountability in action now as he's demanding the ball and trying to go and win the team these games. And that's kind of been his progression this season, I think. You know, he's definitely gotten in better shape, been able to kind of withstand 48 minutes of basketball, if you will, out there and be ready to go and kind of dominate a game in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter that we've seen from him recently. And that's important because everything revolves around him. You know, earlier on in the year, they talked about kind of instilling an offense and putting in an offense that wasn't as Zion-centric, right? And they wanted maybe to give the ball to Brandon Ingram more and use an offense that if Zion wasn't playing, you could at least still run it. And if your offense is Zion-centric and he's not playing, you can't really do anything about that. But the best way is get him the ball, because look at what he does to a defense, how he bends it, the court gravity that he has out there, and how that makes everyone else better. And with him being in better shape, clearly having some more just will, force of will, whatever word you want to use for it, right, that kind of commitment to the effort that he's putting out there, that's gotten better as the season's gone on, and I think that's why you're seeing him have so much success now, and you're seeing him late in games kind of take over and carry this team to victory.
One other thing I see is that he's also willing to take that 10-foot shot now.
Yeah, the
and
midi.
And that midi is really kind of
from the nail, the elbow
separated him from what he was doing before when he just go up against that wall and, you know, having to kick it out. But now he's actually taking that shot with confidence, and he's making it. And I think that's also giving him, you know, a lot of different variables to his game.
Yeah, they need that. You know, let's not go overboard with it too much yet, right? He's taken 4 mid-rangers in 3 games here. So it's a big improvement because he's never done that before, right? So seeing that is kind of surprising, and the fact that it's working so effectively is a really, really good thing because they are, as you said, walling off the rim from Zion Williamson. This is a guy who scores at 72%-ish, right around there, shooting percentage when he's in the restricted area. That's incredibly efficient and incredibly good, and so teams are going to sell out to stop that sort of thing. But the way you kind of beat them with that is you hit them with a little body blows, right? Like a boxer going for those kind of moves. And that's what that mid-range shot for Zion is right now, saying, okay, there's another way that I can beat you. And if he can do that, it's going to pull some of those guys out of the paint a little bit, which is going to give him more room to operate in things like that. So it's been really impressive to see. The thing that impresses me the most of it is this, right? that's something that you could almost call experimental, I think, a little bit. You would imagine you would be working on that in the beginning part of the season, testing it out, kind of getting the work in with it in game situations. He's breaking that out in key game situations where they absolutely need him to hit buckets. To have kind of the confidence in your shot to do that when you've never done it before is truly something, and it's clearly working for this team. You know, on the spacing side of things, that mid-range shot is really good, but more importantly, it's going to be what the other players are doing. Teams are going to live with Zion taking that mid-range jumper. Even if he's hitting him at a pretty high rate, he's not going to score it like he does going to the rim. So they'll live with that, and I think defenses count that as a win. But the way you really beat teams to space the court well for Zion Williamson is what CJ McCollum's doing, what Trey Murphy's doing, what Jose Alvarado off the bench is doing, and that's hitting your three-point shots. The way CJ's playing right now, you know, going 9 of 12 from 3 the other night, and the way he shoots over drop coverages when they're trying to sink back and kind of wall off the rim for Zion Williamson. That's really the key to getting Zion going and spacing the court for him. The mid-range shot is good, don't get me wrong. I want to keep seeing him do that. But the Pelicans need to keep shooting around 43s like they took in the game against Sacramento.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jake Madison, Locked On Pels. I know, let Jake the way to follow over on X. If the Pels want that sixth seed, Cody Zeller needs more air time, more playing time. What about his performance last night, man?
He was fun. Like, look, the role players stepping up like that is huge, but Cody Zeller in a game where you don't have Larry Nance Jr., where Jonas Valanciunas was effective, he played 33 minutes, but that's well above his average right now. You got to give the guy a break. For Cody Zeller to come in and give you 5 to 7 good minutes a night, that is huge. That's also championship experience, NBA Finals experience, Cody Zeller here, which is one of the reasons they brought him in, right? And he just goes out and plays smart basketball. He was setting really good screens, springing Zion Williamson open. It was just really fun to see in that moment, I thought.
I love that. All right, so here we are. All that did by winning Sunday, by winning Tuesday, by winning last night, which is make this game even more important here as well. 2 to go. The good thing about it is you have no... You secured at least 7. He's still in the game for 6, so you can't go further than that. But, Jake, 8, 9, and 10 all have the same record. They all can be 8. They all would love to be 8 to be in there so the Pels can play any of those guys. If they get to 7, they can still get 6. Help me make sense of this weekend. How should I watch this weekend? What do you think happens at the end of this weekend?
You know, we're going to find out. You know, you got 2 games left to go, and there's, like, so much to play for here. Here's what I love about the Pelicans beating the Sacramento Kings last night, and I talked about this on my show today, is it makes the Kings desperate, right? You just said 8, 9, 10, all is the same record. They could finish in any of those spots right now. Sacramento just lost. They don't want to fall even further down the standings. They don't want to get into that 9 or 10 spot. They'd like to remain 8th, and the only way they can do that is by winning games. And guess what? They play the Phoenix Suns tonight, so you have a desperate Sacramento Kings team at home coming in against a very up-and-down Phoenix Suns team. We're rooting hard for Sacramento here because if Sacramento wins, so if Phoenix loses and New Orleans wins tonight, New Orleans then clinches the 6th spot. So as long as we get Phoenix lost, that's important. But Phoenix also then plays the Minnesota Timberwolves on the final game of the regular season on Sunday. That's a team that's still fighting for the 1 seed. They could finish 1-3. So they have an incentive to try and beat Phoenix as well. So New Orleans, while they control their own destiny and the easiest way to get the 6th seed is to win the next 2 games, the road is rough for the Phoenix Suns, and that's the only team they're really in competition with right now for the 6th spot. So hopefully they get, you know, take care of business, but can get a little bit of luck along the way as well, because all of these games are really going to matter. And even that final game against the Lakers on Sunday is potentially going to matter. New Orleans could have the 6th seed clinch, but L.A. might have a lot to play for. So New Orleans can influence where they end up in the standings as well. There's only 2 spots set in the Western Conference right now, and that seems to be the Clippers and the Mavericks in the 4-5 spot. And then everything else is still unsettled with 2 games left to go. It's a lot of fun right now.
Yeah, it's incredible. Something tells me you're going to be up late at night. You're going to be busy. You're going to be recording throughout the weekend. And this is all good with you because this is fun, man. I mean, this is... Wait till you see next week. I mean, the playoffs, the play-in, all of that is going to be something else, man. I can't think of it being as competitive as it is. And I saw a lot of people talking about that, including you. 48 wins last year is what, the 3rd seed? 48 wins this year is probably going to be a play-in, more than likely.
Look, you could have 50 wins here and be the 6th seed and barely avoid the play-in. And if New Orleans wins the next 2, they're going to have 50 wins. It's so close.
No doubt. At Nola Jake, the way to give a follow. Appreciate the time, sir. Thank you so much today.
course. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Yeah, for sure.
Botch just loses
it. Oh, here we go.
Steel Z. Showtime, baby. Throw it down with a right hand.
Hammer time.
I love that. That's always good. We'll be back. We're live at No Wake Outfitters. It is the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
What would you say
you do here?
Sports.
Sports. All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
When they win, they shoot this purple beam out into the heavens. Murphy misses the free throw. After a win, they started that last year as the bench is now now empty. But no beam has been lit when the New Orleans Pelicans have come into town this year. As a matter of fact, the only beam they're going to see is Jim as they wash down their sorrows here in Sacramento.
Oh, crap. Well, Jim Beam, I did see the Photoshop version of the beam yesterday. It was shaped in a...
As the L.
As an L.
I love it.
Yikes. Five times to beat a team in one season?
That's why yesterday I thought it was going to be a tough game, but man...
That was something else.
We started out on fire, though.
We are live at No Wake Outfitters. They are sponsors of our number one here on the Sports Hangover. Your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing. You hear me say that each and every day. General D, this is your first time coming in here as well. Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, this is definitely cool. This is a really cool place.
And we heard from Justin earlier talk about specifically there's some events in and around the area that do that, and Jerry, our owner, actually knows all about the no bull.
Whoa.
You say bull a lot.
Right. The bull. Bridgeside Marina, one of our clients during the summer, August 23rd and 24th. Just spoke to him a few minutes ago, and I was asking how many kayakers, and it's 750 plus.
Wow.
And the pandemic slowed things down, but to see 750 kayaks from the Grand Isle Bridge out to the pass is just unbelievable. It's like you could walk across each one, you know, and get across the pass itself. But to draw that many kayakers, and it's got to be a kayak, so it's no motorized vessels.
And you spent many years in the state legislature and you were really one of those people instrumental in kind of making sure that you protect the waterways,
right.
Not only the fishing, commercialing, and eating Louisiana seafood. I know you and I used to talk about that. That was very important for you to put it on that menu and all those different aspects of it. But this is another one of those elements here as well. I know we air, right? The tarpon rodeo.
And, right.
You know, we always air fishing rodeos here because it's a big thing. So to be able to protect our waterways and to understand that, that's a big thing, especially for Grand Isle.
Well, it is. And speaking of the legislature, the kayaks for a couple of years were a big issue in Natural Resources Committee and Transportation Committee because of the safety element. This is before Ida, when there was marsh grass and you had kayakers fishing, and the complaint was you had motorized vessels, these fast bass boats coming around a curve, and boom, there's a kayaker, and you're stumbling right on top of them. And they passed legislation where you had to have a little pole and a
right
flag.
There's the little flag right there on the kayak in front of us.
And it was just to let people know there's a kayak in the area just around the curve. You know, so it was a contentious issue, a big argument, you know, why I have to put a flag. Well, we're trying to save your life. And again, someone in a 30-foot, 24-foot vessel with a 300, 250 horsepower engine comes around a curve and he can't put the brakes on, you know. And it was a serious safety issue, but it was well addressed. And with the kayakers in mind, and because we knew it was a growing sport.
How about when you walk in here to see that? The growth to it, too. I mean, these kayaks, I mean, I didn't know you had the same little motor that you can put on a boat like that you would go fishing that has autopilot and all that. Those are really cool qualities to have on this kayak.
Well, I drive by Wally World, and you see 30 kayaks standing up on its end. But it's just a piece of plastic what you buy out there. Mm-hmm. You walk in here, and I'm blown away by the accessories that you can attach to a I don't call them kayaks. These these are yachts, but they are nice. I mean, I'm blown away with the motorized device.
That's your speed right there. You just hit a little button, put your feet on the pedal, and just go.
Davey Bro, one of the project managers at the Great Lafourche Port Commission, he's a avid kayaker, and he's got the little pedal manual operation. But
send him a photo of that.
He's gonna look at this piece of machine, yeah. And I think he's gonna go that route.
There but you go.
It's pretty affordable too. I'm surprised at the pricing.
Yeah,
and really, some of these kayaks, the one that he showed us before with two guys actually standing up on it, was like $1,500. I mean, and that was without the motor, but still. I mean, that's for two people actually get on and go out and fishing in the marsh.
General D, you normally saw people coming in from, if they came in from Metairie Fine, but you had a whole bunch coming in from Baton Rouge every weekend with all these 20, 30-foot vessels and launching all over the place. And you know, here we are in small aluminum hulls, and we're getting run over by these big boats. But now I'm talking 30 years ago, but the last 20 years the kayakers have taken over, which is great. You like he was saying, you can launch two minutes you're fishing.
Yeah,
you know it. And Gus, you know, you're not an avid fisherman, but if you did become a fisherman, I mean, you can drive down to Leeville, brand new boat launch, rebuilt from Ida. It's reopened, but it allows guys like you to bring your kayak on top of your SUV, dump it. You and Carver jump in the kayak, and away you go.
Yeah,
and you're in, you know, the best saltwater fishing they have. You know,
it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to kind of see all the different things that you can do with this.
The kayak canoe cart over there, I think that's impressive as well. I mean, you just attach that, so you roll it out. I mean, you don't need another adult to come out there and help you get it off.
And it's right here if you want to see it, too. Yeah. I'm plugged in right above it, and it's great because you just strap it onto it, and it just helps you roll it. Because that's literally what I was thinking, too. I'm like, okay, you're what, 6'2", 6'3"? Well, same thing with shoes. But, I mean, I'm 5'7" with Hokas on. So, I mean, and they have a lot of padding. And that's what I was thinking, I'm, one hand, two hand on this. Because the one I have at the house is kind of like, I can kind of get it over my head.
Right.
You know, and that's a recreational one. I like this red one. That's kind of like what I have. I can kind of get that myself, wrap my arms around it. But that little cart right there is perfect. It's two wheels, like a little.
Well, that's what it's called. It says the ultimate kayak and canoe cart.
Yeah. You know what it looks like? Those motorized, scooter platform things that you see kids on. You talk about.
Yeah, the hoverboards.
Hoverboards. That's what it is. It looks just like one of those hoverboards. Two wheels on it, a small little square platform on it that you would just put the kayak on it with a strap, and then away it goes.
My daughter's got a camp on Grand Isle on the highway. They have to cross the levee to get to the beach. If you have a kayak, what do? You get the cart, and away you go. You know, it's an easy haul.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah, they got shoes, hats, rods, the reels, all that stuff here. It's really cool.
This Life place fest. Is unreal.
Yeah. It's nice.
The commercials are unjust.
I was going to say, you're right. Doesn't do it justice. The one thing that is unique, too, that I don't know very many places, too, and you mentioned whether it's Wally World and other places, you don't have a pool. And it's a pool. I mean, it's big enough for you to go put the kayak in. It's just for you to go test.
This
test
is a specialty
out.
Shop.
To go
I mean,
see
this is
it.
What it is. It's a it specialty is. Shop that
and it
you're going
to
get.
Kind of know what I want to
high end.
Like, you know.
You know, help. I mean, that's what it is.
I'm looking at an inflatable kayak.
I like that one too. It's camoed, which is perfect.
But if you have a smaller vehicle that you don't want to put a kayak on top with a rack, it's deflatable. I'm sure there's a 12-volt pump, and away you go.
There it is. We'll ask Justin about that.
Yes.
Next time we see him here as well. That's good stuff. No, there it is. There's the pump.
It's a hand pump.
Bonnie's letting us know. It's a little hand pump. It's even better, so you don't need to be plugged in anywhere. You can just
So your wife can inflate the deal for you. I love it.
Or in my case, Carver. Let's go, bud.
Carver,
you want
yes.
that pizza tonight? let's get this thing inflated.
You want fresh fish tonight.
You want fresh fish tonight. Exactly. We can do that. I love that.
The pump's in the bag.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, the pump over there. Oh,
I see it.
But, man, this is unreal. Fishing lines, lures. I was looking at life jackets, the CO2 containers, cylinders that they're extra light.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bulky. And
oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Fall in the water, poof.
The clothing and the gear is really nice. I mean, I really look at some of the quality of the equipment they got here is really high end. It's not
that's
that
good
some
stuff, man. When is the No Bull again, or Ride the Bull?
Ride the
August
Bull.
August 23rd and 24th.
The Bull.
There's
I'm
No
just so,
Bull.
I'm just so used to him telling me that. You know, I'm like, what are we doing this week? No Bull.
Well, I think No Bull. I think Bull Reds are illegal. So I was looking at their measuring devices they have for the kayaks. My wife was asking, what is this tape measure for? Uh-huh. Well, we do have laws. And the fish only have to be so many inches long. So anyway, all the accessories in the world that you'd want.
It's cool. I'm glad that you stopped by, too, to hear it from your perspective, too, especially down by where you live and hang out, too. That's real-world applications of that. You know, it's nice for us Metairie folk over here to look at it and be like, oh, that'd be kind of cool to go do that. Jerry and him actually go do that all the time.
My only hesitation would be the two eyes that are looking at you in the water, as in Mr. Alligator. But
yeah.
But no, these kayaks are, to me, they're more solid.
Yeah,
they're real. I mean, I'm thinking a piece of Wally World plastic.
Yeah, these are state of the art vessels.
Yes,
it's really nice.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's a state of the art vessel.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Appreciate you. Good seeing you here as always. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the standings. What's there to come? Because the Pels did get the win last night. They got to get back at it again and play tonight against Golden State in a very.
You guys had a battle on the air about last night's game.
Yeah,
and I was trying to figure out who's for who.
Yeah.
It was going to be an impossibility to win last night, but it did.
They did. Get some guys really stepped up. I mean, like, we talked about it yesterday. Trey Murphy had to be a guy that had to give us a lot of points. He did. He came through. CJ had to be efficient. He was very efficient. And they utilized Jonas, and he was a guy that they played through all night. And at the end of the ball game, we saw who that guy was, and it was Zion. Zion took over at the end of the ball game. He hit free throws. He hit mid-range shots. And this team, if they're playing like they do right now, like they did last night, they have a very good chance to run the table. But if they don't, I mean, it is what it is. They're going to finish into the play-in.
And this was, what, 5 in a row?
Yeah.
That is
after going 1-5.
Well, I want to share this. This was kind of posted via Boot Crew Media.
Uh-huh.
10 years ago today, the Pelicans rolled out Austin Rivers, Anthony Morrow, Darius Miller, Luke Babbitt, and Alexi Ajensa.
Wow.
Don't you think we've upgraded since then?
It's a different team.
10 years ago.
It's a different team. And look, that's what I was trying to, as Jerry was listening yesterday, and you were well aware with Mr. Positivity and the other people around here. I get play-in. And you hear play-in. All I will say is this, whether it's the Pels or not, the Lakers will be likely in the play-in with LeBron and AD. Steph Curry likely will be in a play-in. Kevin Durant could be in a play-in. This is a much tougher Western Conference. This is a different season. I understand the association. Oh, the Pels in the play. This is not the play-in from last year or two seasons ago. Look, if they can get to 6, it is one heck of an accomplishment. Because, to your point, I understand what you were saying. You could have won a lot of these games. You could have done a lot of different situations where you wouldn't have been this. Win a couple of your home games in that homestand. Do those things. But, look, let me tell you something. It's a heck of an end and a finish to see it. And more importantly, when Zion went down yesterday and you didn't know if that wrist was feeling well or not,
yeah.
I'll play what he had to say because I think he battled through it. And you'll hear what Coach had to say about it, what he had to say about it when we come back as well. Because yesterday, that was a topic with you guys and John and him. Well, he needs to play through pain and he needs to play. The guy is showing in the last 2 weeks what everyone has wanted.
He wants to be in a playoff series. You can see it. He wants to be great.
Yeah.
And I think that the light bulb went off at the All-Star break. When he was not a part of the All-Star game, and I think some of the comments he's made in public talking about the fact that if I'll be a part of the dunk competition if I'm in the All-Star team. Right, so he is really focused on that, and I think when that light bulb went off for him, his shape improved, and Coach Krzyzewski said it. If you want to get Zion Williamson in shape, he needs to play basketball. And he has been playing basketball
the entire third quarter
in and out, and he's really taken the next step, and I think he could be a great player.
Y'all said he got in shape by the All-Star game. He's in basketball shape now.
Oh, yeah.
And all the things you guys were saying had to happen last night happened. Valanciunas, you know, he wasn't the greatest. You're not going to rely on him night after night, but he came through. But at the end, Zion put the team on his back. So
he owns Sabonis. I mean, he is like – Sabonis is like his little brother. I mean, to control a guy that's been an All-Star and to control him like he's done for five straight games says a lot about Jonas Valanciunas.
Who's your daddy?
That's right.
I like that.
I like it.
We'll be back. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 on the Rudiman Can Hotline. Give us a buzz. Buddy, we'll take your phone calls back over in the LaRose Studios. General T here with you. We are at No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for fly fishing and kayaks. And we're not kidding when we say that, I promise you. So, look, let's be honest. All of our stomachs, pits in there. I think I text you, the graph. We were all texting. We're like, oh, no. When Zion goes down, and he went down in the second quarter, kind of landed on his back to the point where at halftime, Charles Barkley did a demonstration on how to fall down and not to fall down. And he was like, Zion, don't use your hands. Use something other than your hands. In order to do so, and which was, I mean, I thought it was one of
classic the TNT TV. No, I mean, it was
so perfect
on point, yeah.
On there as well. But Zion did go down. He was asked about it after the game by Will Guillory
on his shooting hand. Now,
yes,
that's
the left
the other
wrist.
Part, yeah.
Tell us about it, Zion.
Not going to really speak on that. Just, you know, something happened and had to just see it through.
See, hear him say, I had to see it through. Now, he went after head coach Willie Green went, and he was asked about the wrist injury and Zion and what he was able to do.
He's showing the world what he's about, and he's bringing it night in and night out. He had to gut through an injury tonight, and he knew his teammates needed him, and he came through for us in the end.
So not just one injury, two injuries, because they had the finger injury on the same hand. So they had the wrist injury that occurred in the game, and he's also playing with an injury on his left finger.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It wasn't – there was something.
Yeah.
I mean, he absolutely played through something for that to happen. So I think when you look at it
– his focus has been next level for me. For what I've seen Zion in the last couple of years – his focus is laser focused because when he goes to the free throw line now, it's not like, oh, I hope he makes one of two, right? But he is in shape. I think he's probably shooting at least around the 80 mark in the playoff, or in this, I say playoffs, down the stretch of this season. I feel confident when he gets fouled now, he goes to the line, he's going to knock him down because he's willing himself to want to get a winner, a victory.
So that's definitely one of the things that really stood out to me more than anything. I loved how he did show America, though, how to fall. And this is what they had to say.
This game, waiting on word from Chris Haynes on exactly the extent of the injury. But you see on this play as he goes to the floor and then Looking at that left wrist. So
do not catch yourself, man.
As soon as Chris Haynes finds something out.
I hate when players do that. Fall on your ass or something.
8 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists.
You're not a stud, man. What are you acting like?
No, but you don't try to. You, like, wrestling, we did practice that when I was playing for the set.
You
don't.
You did.
Yes, we did.
Practice how to fall.
Show us. Show me right now. Fall on your ass right now.
Don't hurt yourself, man.
No, seriously. Like, when you're falling.
Coming around
when you're falling,
right,
and you know a lot of guys falling, they try to catch. No, you do that.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't do that. You don't try to catch yourself.
Not
do
it your again, body. Chuck. Not with your hands or your wrists or your elbows.
Do it again,
guys.
Chuck.
I'm just telling you, guys at home, don't be stupid. Your body is too much. It's got too much force. You're gonna break your finger or your wrist.
Can I see that in slow motion 100 times, please?
Chuck, that was good.
Yes, it was. I'm telling you, we used to practice like, dude, do not try to catch yourself.
Here
we
go. Slow motion. Fall on that ass, America.
Get your arms up. Get your arms up.
Oh, my goodness.
Arms ahead. Get your,
classic
don't worry
TV.
About your head. You
what's beautiful about that is, first off, he actually did it right.
He did.
As he's going down, he's
but there's actually some
down.
Truth to that.
No, just 100%.
When you learn how to take a charge,
yeah.
You know, when you know people are fearful of taking the charge, holding their ground. When you get hit, you're supposed to go back and put your hands up, keep your head up, like yep. I think somebody mentioned, so they don't hit the head on the court, and land on your rear.
Yeah. No, it's. That's what it's there for.
That's what it's there for.
It's there
There's
for.
More padding there, and Barkley's got a lot
well,
of it.
And that's the thing, too. But, look, the reason I play that, too, is so funny because you definitely hear the narrative has changed, I think, nationally. People want to see that. And I know Gilbert Arenas earlier this week put out a video said no one wants to see them TV-wise and something of that nature. I think people love seeing young stars kind of take their game to the next level. And when you look at the Western Conference right now, Anthony Edwards becoming Baby Jordan, right? Dropping 50 earlier this week, seeing what he can do. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet and doing that. And to an extent, Victor Wembanyama the last month has really just taken off. And you're starting to see that, what he can do too as well.
Another people guy is Jonathan that. Kuminga, who we play tonight. That is a guy who's really kind of stepped up his
game. I was
going
to ask you, do you think that's the reason that Golden State has been able to... I mean, they've won 9 of the last 10 games.
And they actually sat Clay and Draymond last night. So we're going to have a healthy and fresh 2 older guys on their roster, but the younger guys have stepped up for them. It comes down to those 50-50 balls a lot of times. You know, those possessions that you get an extra possession out of it. If you give Clay Thompson and mm-hmm. Steph Curry an extra possession... I mean, the likelihood of them hitting threes is going up dramatically. So the younger players on that team playing like they are, it becomes a formidable opponent for the Pelicans tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. One of the other things that I love what Zion said yesterday, too, is understanding, too, right, where we are. I mean, we're 2 games away. And look, that's why the pit in the stomach hit yesterday, because you're sitting there going, no, come on. Really?
Right.
No.
At this time. Yeah.
And then he didn't come out. You know, immediately afterwards, you're like, no.
And there were conflicting reports. Some people were saying that he wasn't coming back.
Well, because the thing about it, too, is you're sitting there going, you're 2 games from the play-in or the postseason. If it's a break, if it's a sprain, I mean, you're not playing.
You're done.
You know, and like, no. I mean, it's because you do feel for that
young man.
I mean feel for him.
He's a guy that's really kind of transformed himself, and he's a guy that really wants to take the next step. And he's experienced a lot of criticism, and I think Willie Green spoke to it in the post game at one point. I mean, you know, Willie Green's a man of faith, and there's been a lot of things that he's helped Zion go through mm-hmm. with all the criticisms that have been around him. And, you know, you can see it. This whole team is galvanized together. That interview that they did after the game, they all were standing there.
I was going to play that, yeah. When we come back, it's 46 seconds, so we'll do it when we come back, top of the hour. But Willie Green was asked, how do you measure how to treat a player like Zion? In that, you know, you have somebody that you have to challenge and letting him grow and learn at the same time and understand, how to be a player's coach at the same time, having to do what you have to do and do that challenging aspect of it. So we'll have that. We'll have a lot more with what Z had to say. Got a lot more to get into. Rafael Esparza is going to join us at 1:15. Got Marlon Leo in hour number 3. Got a lot more from the game last night. We'll still need to go over the standings, all those different aspects, and the Saints on the quarterback.
And a receiver.
What?
I'm just saying. I mean,
I don't know what else to say.
They've made a couple of moves. They're trying to stockpile some assets that they're kind of on the heap right now, that they see if they can dust them off.
Telemann's an asset?
Well, I mean, he knows the offense. He's been he's going to challenge, I guess, Jake Haener. Well, that's what they're bringing him in for.
Somebody else. Who's the other quarterback?
Is it Peterman?
Yeah,
Nathan Peterman.
Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, that's another one that's going to kind of fight it out. See if we can see. I mean, look, the guy was, I think, a second round pick at one point. Mm-hmm. Kellerman has been kind of bounced around, and I don't know that that really moves the needle
time we have
totally.
For hour
but
number one, which is always brought to you by Noah Calvert.
But the St. Brown signing, it's a big target they're bringing in. It's Ross St. Brown.
The receiver from the Lions.
Not him. It's his brother.
No, he was excellent with the Lions last year.
It's his older brother.
He's going to fit in perfect on the Saints.
It's his older brother that's a large target.
So it's not the St. Brown
from the Lions. He's got the last name,
who
though.
Does really
he's
well.
Got, the I guess, the genes.
He's a top receiver.
No, it's not him. It's not him. He's still a big target, and we're hoping that he can come in, and I think he's projected, you know, when they do the projections, to have 24 catches, about 300 and something yards, and a touchdown.
Let me go break.
Yeah, you probably should.
Hour two when we come back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Hope it's a good draft.
For over 90 years.